Thank you. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Grace. You guys are awesome. Love you all. Want to welcome everyone to church. It's a Click family. Welcome. And those that's online, I welcome you as well. Good morning. I'm not sure about you guys. The big event yesterday about Mark Tyson and Jake boxing. I'm not sure who have watched. Can I see a hand? Who have actually watched a match? Oh, yeah, Daniel. Well, not a boxing match. Yeah, the young one, yes. Although he's almost a 60-year-old man that's fighting. And, I got to say, he have the stamina that a 50-year-old man don't have, yeah. So, well, it's a big event, and I didn't have the chance to watch it, but I know who, the results, of course. And, all right, today, we are entering into the second week of evangelism series. I believe God wants to equip us as a church that obeys and take actions. Yeah, what does that mean? And today we're going to look at some of the method on how we can effectively in evangelize. So let us... this is a great commission. Can I get everyone to stand in the presence of God as you read this great commission from Jesus himself? So Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus came and told his disciple, "I have been given an authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make discipleship of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them, this Bible, to obey all commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I will be with you always, even to the end of age." Church, Jesus will be with us to the end of age. Can you all be seated in the presence of God? Thank you. So I find that this great commission, it is very powerful. It comes with a command. And also all authority, it was given to us, and it's a call to obey Him. And the best part is we are not alone, all right? He is with us to the end of time. I have gone through a few research on how, evangelism is for Christians today. So, I came across this Jesus Project website. They are, I think it's in US. They have done a research over 1,600 over Christians. They asked them this question: why don't you share your faith? So obviously the first biggest, you see, percentage is fear. Number one is fear. Some say, I have a lack of opportunity. I don't have opportunity. Some say nothing. I just don't. And some of us say, lack of interest. And some of us say, I fear of rejection. Yeah, people will reject me. Hostility. So some people, may be afraid that, they may be cursed, spit at, throw a rock on you or something. Some say, I'm too busy. And some may say, yes, of course, I'm too shy. And some may say, this relationship is not appropriate for me to share Christ. Hard to bring it up. Some say I'm too pushy. Some say I might offend people. Now, it seems like fear is number one, we can see. Yeah, fear is number one. And most of the thing, fear is the first challenges that all Christians go through. For instance, like you were saying that I'm afraid that I might offend people, or fear of I'm too shy. It's all related to fear. So I think it is natural. I'm not sure about you, but it's natural when we evangelize, you have fear. To be honest, I often feel nervous myself when about to share that good news with the people, especially with strangers. There's always fear. And you know what, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand one thing this morning. Yeah, a person's salvation isn't depend upon our performance. It's nothing to do with our performance. God is always at work in everybody's life. drawing them to Him. And, you know, the Great Commission says that you are not alone. I am with you, not sometimes, but every time to the end of time, in fact. Yeah. So when fear creeps in next time, remember this, church. It doesn't depend on your performance. You know, it depends on God who is at work. And, you know, that chart says about hostility. Some of us may say that, well, I have fear in, you know, people may reject me. So this is another research from McGregor. This is Australian research. They look at Australia. They are non-Christians researcher. So they came up with, they interview a lot, thousands of people. And we can see that there's not many at all people will be hostile to you. In fact, only 4% will passionately oppose you. I don't know, they will spit at you or, you know, when you share your faith with them, that's not many, only 4%. 96% will most likely say, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, I know about Jesus. But some of them say, yeah, no, thank you. They will move away. And this is the Australian people that will respond to this. And you know what? Sometimes media, social media, news, it will make you feel like when you share Christ, you are a bigot or you are somebody, you know, very bad. But it's not true. Yeah, this is what the Australian people think. So today, we are going to look into some practical way of evangelism. So today, we're going to look at the passage of Matthew 13:1-23. So this parable of sower can be found in all synoptic gospel, Mark, Luke as well. They serve as a very powerful analogy for evangelism. Yeah, so I'll explain this parable. So one day, you know, there was a large crowd gathered around with Jesus, and there's too many of them came from everywhere, and Jesus had to be on the boat, sail out, and he speaks about the parable of sower. So, in Matthew 13, right, I won't read the whole thing, it's all the way to 23, but verse 3 says that, listen, a farmer went out, this is what Jesus said, I planted some seeds as they scattered around across the field. Some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Another seed fell on a shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they did not have deep roots, they died. Verse 7, on other seeds fell amongst thorns and grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on a fertile soil, and they produced crops that was 30, 60, and even 100 times more than they planted. Anyone have ears? Church, listen, yeah? Jesus is saying something. Everyone who have ears to hear should listen and understand. Then the second part of the parable, and when the disciple asked Jesus, why do you speak in parable? Why can't you speak in Singlish or other languages that you know? Arabic, of course, at that time. But why do you speak in parables? And his response, and Jesus kind of explained the deeper explanation on this parable. So he replied, verse 11, you are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. Again, right? Those who listen, again, Jesus is saying something like that. Those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have abundance knowledge. For those who are not listening, even the little understanding they will have be taken away from them. That is why I use this parable. And then Jesus go on and explain. The quote, the prophecy was fulfilled in the Isaiah. It's about listening and seeing as well. Yeah. And then verse 16, Jesus came back and listened again very carefully. But blessed are your eyes. Now Jesus say, eyes, those that you have seen, because they have seen. And your ears, because you have hear. So here Jesus says, come and see and come and hear. what I'm telling you. So I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. Yeah, the Old Testament guys, they are righteous, but they did not see Jesus. And today, I think it's blessed that we see what Jesus have done, the new covenant on the cross for us. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear. And verse 18, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer of the seeds. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Again, they don't understand it when they hear it. Then the evil one with their hearts, the seeds on the rocky soil, those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. Verse 21, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's words. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the God's words, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of his life and lure all the wealth, so the fruits is produced. So verse 23, the last verse, the seed that fell on a good soil are those, church, you are those people, truly hear and understand God's words and produce the harvest, you know, 30, 60 times or even 100 times have been planted. So church, you know, Jesus, we see that Jesus isn't just telling the story about parables. Jesus is actually equipping the disciples for the future missions of the good news. So, you know, Jesus explained that, you know, to them that not everyone would be ready to hear and understand his words. But for those who have an open heart like the disciples, the parable were a way of growing in wisdom, insight, and readiness. So Jesus is preparing a road for these disciples when he speaks about this parable, where they could face different kind of level of openness in the people, just like the different type of soil and parable. So church, you know, would you join me as we listen, like what Jesus said, listen what the Lord has to say and learn about this passage, about practical way we can obey his great commission, calling us to reach out to the lost. So is that okay? Yeah, Jesus uses this parable to teach and empower his disciple for the missions, the spreading the gospel. So, you know, let us explore this in a three-dimensional of this parable. The first, of course, we see the sower. There's a good soil. And also, lastly, there's a seed. We are called to be the sower in this parable. Jesus wants us to be like a farmer, planting seeds generously and faithfully. Just as the sower is in this story, right, he spread the seeds all type of grounds. We encourage us to share to all people. The message of God is freely give, and without judging who might be receptive or not. And sometimes, yeah, we see people, oh, no, he's not going to be accepting Christ, you know, this is the way he believes his life, no. So I think we have to have that practical way to look at, you know, we are not judging. Everyone is what, you know, have opportunity. And here's some practical ways that we can look into sowing. So number one, of course, preparing for evangelism. That will be the sowing of seeds of prayer. So every farmer, before every farmer start harvesting, they will have to think hard, to, you know, spend a lot of time preparing, planting seeds. You know, now I don't know about you, right? The seeds that was given to you, church, I don't know who have planted yet. But, you know, when I look at that seeds, I have to plan, all right? I have to go Bunnings because I'm not a green thumb person. I don't have even basic thing like soil, potting mix. So I have to Google, okay, what is the best potting mix for tomatoes? And they say vegetables. And I have to look at, you know, I cannot put the whole bunch of seed into one hole, but I have to separate out. That means I need a bigger pot, you know, for the growth and all that. So I have to prepare. I have to think about it. You know, as a farmer as well, we have to prepare as God calls us to. And it's a lot to prepare, yeah. And who have started, I mean, like, I'm not saying like, as a farmer, we need to start preparing evangelism through prayer. We are called to sow in prayer, that plants the spiritual seeds in life of others through prayer. This idea of praying, sowing is powerful. So even before we start going out and evangelize, number one thing is to pray for that person. So we pray for others, planting the seed that God will use to stir up, you know, that desire within them. Yeah, before we, like I say, before we plan to speak to someone, prayer have power in it. I'll share a little bit more later on. But prayer will also prepare your hearts. And it kind of stir up that desire, the love for that person. And sometimes when we pray for that person, God reveal what to say, what to do. And what, especially the conversation starter, God will reveal that. So let us have faith and pray and have God. And then how we pray. Yeah, let's talk about prayer. I know there's here's some practical ways of praying. I have preached this with the young adult before, so I think they already memorized it and know it and practicing it already, I believe, yes. How to pray before evangelize. So number one, of course, we set aside time to pray. Just as any activities, right? Practical planning and consistent effort are more likely to lead to success than doing things randomly. Sometimes I'm a very random person, but I learned to do it more practical. Plan. So that this plan can look different for everyone, depending on your situation personally, and how God is guiding you as well. For example, some people set aside 15 minutes for prayer, you know, 3 times a week. Yeah, for instance, like, I know of a homemaker, a lady, yeah, said to me that I know I have designated certain areas of a home, certain regular tasks for intercession. So for instance, whenever she fold her clothing, her laundry, she prays to her sister-in-law or, brother-in-law or sisters. And then when he cleaned the son's bedroom, he consistently pray for another person. So some people intercede for another while they were jogging, right? But I can tell you, this is not my gift. I will lose my breath. I cannot pray. Talking about Mark Tyson, you know, 50, 60 years old and still good in stamina. But I don't have that gifting. You know, choose your praying time and pray while you're commuting to work as well. That will be a good time. And another way is pray, join with others. So in Matthew 18, 19 to 20. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by the Father in heaven. For we two or three are gathered in a name, and there I will be in the midst of them. So, church, there's power in prayer. You know, I want to share a testimony, right? God have opened up recently, this week, just last week, sorry, last Tuesday, I was having dinner with Jess, and I always go to this place for bubble tea sometimes after dinner in Glen Waverley. You have been there for many years. I can see young people, you know where is this? It's called Happy Cup, make you happy. So I know the owner for a while. I've been there. We have always chit-chat with them and during you know, our visits. So that day, on Tuesday, just Tuesday, I can sense that there, when I went in, the owners look very different. Yeah, they are distraught. They look very sad and quite worrying kind of look. So I approach them. You know, as usual, we talk about things. Oh yeah, yeah. He tell me he will, you know, like about the match, about Mark Tyson and all that. But I can see that he sense something is wrong with him. He's a bit quiet at one time. And he shared to me that his uncle, which is he's very close with, have a heart problem and it's quite serious. And they kind of schedule a heart treatment kind of the next week, which is this week, yeah. And they realize that the heart have like I don't know some sort of protein or something that make the heart very weak and is in monitoring position where the families always look up. So on that day itself, when I was there, he said he just received a call that his uncle is already in the ambulance on the way to hospital. And he received that call. So he felt, you know, so stressed, and you know, you can see from his face. And then I realized this is public area, right? In a shops where customers is there. So I asked him, "Do you want me to pray for you? Can I pray for you?" And he said, "Yes." Stop. But I say, "You want to wait for the customer first to you know, buy drinks and get off?" He said, no, it's okay. So the customer is waiting, yeah, on a shop right at the counter. So I pray for him. I think the customers are looking, well, what is this? Is this a church or something, right? It's like so different. And I pray for him on the spot. It's a public prayer, which I can tell you, yes, it is. I did feel a bit of fear in me as well, but I pray, you know, I just obey God and I pray for him on the spot. And they are not believers. They do not accept. I try to share my testimony with them a few times, but they are atheists, right? They don't believe in God at all. All they believe is, I do good things, is good enough, yeah? Every religion is the same. All the God is the same, yeah, to him. They always tell me this thing. But he asked me, I said, "Yeah, can I pray for you?" Yeah, and he asked, and he prayed. And I can see that, you know, the tears, the eyes was red and all that when I pray for him. And that resonated in him. And I laugh after that. I say, "Yep, you know, all your customers is waiting." And done, finished, I walk out. So after that, I felt, next few days, I felt that, okay, maybe I check in with him. I text him. I say, "Hey, you know, I'm just thinking about you and your uncle. I've been praying for you guys." And he shared to me, "Wow, Daniel," this is his word. He say, "After 5 minutes I left, he received a call that his uncle is okay, now in the hospital. It's a miracle," he said. He said, "Now I've told everyone about you, the gangster." I don't know why he called me a gangster, "that prayed for me. And you know, my uncle is okay." I said, no, it's not me, it's God. You know, this is the God that heals, yeah? It's in the Bible, it says that too. So I say, you know, this is, he told everyone. So now, when I go to that stretch of rows, right, the shops all will know me. Yeah, oh, this is a gangster that pray. So this is a thing that we do sometimes. There's always power in prayer. So I felt that, yeah, you know, as a church, I think don't shy away from praying for others. And let us be that person that is full of prayer. So second point is the soil, right? Let us cultivate that soil, exploring different approach of evangelism through the soil. As we can see as well, there's many types of soil in these parables. And let us explore types of evangelism, all right? So number one is, of course, mass evangelism. Mass evangelism refers to, you know, sharing the gospel with a large group. People typically through large-scale evangelistic campaign or event. So mass evangelism can involve preaching the gospel in public places, like preaching on the pulpit at church, meetings, crusades, and even some in television, you see, like Billy Graham last time. So some of us are called in this ministry, all right? I'm talking to you guys. Some of you are called into this ministry to preach on the pulpit, to share the words of God, yeah? And God will provide you the gifting, yeah, when the calls come. So I remember when this is something when it's called as well during preaching in a pulpit. I remember this last Easter that's just passed. We have the opportunity to speak to our beloved young kingdom kids, our precious, precious little kids. And honestly, even though they are little kids, they scare you, right? They creep, you know, it's kind of, when I'm on the stage, the fear kind of creep in as well, right? Just, they are little kids. But I'm speaking to them, yeah? So some thoughts like, no, they are too young. The thoughts come in like, they are too young to understand what you're saying. Or the kids won't understand, won't respond to your calling of you know, accepting Christ. All these thoughts ran through my head, on and on. But then I reminded that, you know, it's not about me. It's about God who is at work in our hearts, of the people. So it's not about me. You know what? When I obey, you know, God responded with this. 15 precious kids put up their hands to accept Jesus for the first time. And you know, all glory to God. God works through this miracle way that is just past, yeah, Easter. And all glory to Him. I thank God for the young kids that acted, performing. This is creative arts, right? God can use young people like you, young people, the youth, yeah, young adults. I think God can use you powerfully in reaching out to people. So another one will be random evangelism. I'm not sure if some of you have been called to do this. Another form of evangelism, this is another form, where you form one or two persons together with you to present your gospel to a testimony to a stranger. Sometimes, you know, in a neighborhood, door-to-door knocking, evangelism. I'm not talking about Jehovah's Witness, but that's wrong motive. But you may see them, you know, on the streets as well, preaching and all that. So now I want to share, this is two types of evangelism, but the third type, I want to share this with you. I believe this is the most effective evangelism of all. So some of you may be thinking, I don't have the gift of preaching. Or you may be thinking that I'm not ready to share gospel with a random stranger on the street. But that is, if that is you, you need to hear this. It's called everyday evangelism. Right? This is the most powerful one. Everyday evangelism involves influencing towards others through the kingdom of God in your daily environment. You know, find this is one of the most effective way. I find this is the most effective way. Normally the process is more effective in a situation where we have ongoing relationship with friends, neighbors, co-workers, relatives, or a fellow students. This kind of evangelism seldom, you know, accompanied by signs and wonders. And it is done most frequently by people who are not extraordinary, persuasive, articulate, or even charismatic. You know, at the heart of every evangelism is the recognition of the importance of the person relationship in any kind of conversation process. I find that people often listen to me more when I share my personal testimony rather than jumping straight into scripture and say, you know, Jesus say this, yeah, you things like that. But before meeting someone, I like to think through which parts of my story might encourage and resonate with them specifically. And that's the prayer segment this morning. Prepare your testimony. And sometimes testimony reach out to person, that particular person, better than you quote scriptures and coming through with, you know, your theological explanation. You know, with the Happy Cup owner again, it came to me where they call me a gangster. I don't know why. I would love to be called someone better, you know, a nice, gentle person or a godly person that pray for me. But he called me a gangster person because I shared my life's testimony with him before. The things that I have done and all that kind of thing. And he says that, wow, this is like 360 degrees change, yeah? And he start to see that as well, how God changed people. And, you know, he looked at me at, you know, he had been telling everyone, this is the gangster, you know, preacher. It's very strange. And it's because I share my testimony and life testimony, and that resonate in them, right? That brings them a lot of memories when they talk about someone else, when they talk about me. So this way I can share how God's have worked in life, in my life, and a way that I can feel relevant to them and often open doors to a deeper conversation. So meaning more deeper, meaningful, you know, conversation about faith. I can tell you that, you know, a few non-Christians read and study the Bible. I can tell you there's not very much of them do that. Of course they don't. And it is often that I say that Bible, the only true Bible, you know, these people knows the Bible, or they can see a Bible, it's true, our life daily, you and me, how we live our life daily, is how they see it. Okay, Christians or Bible, they're supposed to be like that person. And you may be the person they look at, church. You may be the person that they look at. that they understand God's love through you. And we need to see the place at our workplace, our uni place, our schools, you know, our neighbors. It's the place that God specifically planted you there. Jesus have appointed you. You know, you have planted, God have planted you in that place with that person so that you can blossom and, you know, show who God is. And my last point, spreading the seeds. Yeah. So first, of course, we start with prayer and then everyday evangelism. And then now, spreading the seeds. In this parable of sower, we see that the farmer scattered seeds everywhere in the footpath, rocky ground, thorny ground, and a good soil. Yeah. We can learn from this example. We are called to spread these seeds of gospel everywhere, sharing God's message with all people, no matter what background and circumstances. Let us spread the seeds generously and trusting that some will take root and grow. So church, maybe I'll come up with a more physical imagination, right? So whenever we go out from our house this, you know, in the morning, you know, sometimes I forget, oh yeah, I forget my wallet, I forget my mobile phones, I have to quickly go back and get it. So why not we have our mental thoughts of, let us bring our seeds to scatter, you know, every morning when we go out. We may not know how, but all we need to know is we scatter the seeds everywhere on the ground. Everywhere we go, we spread the seed, we share the gospel. Sometimes we forgot to bring, you know, like my wallet. I say, whoa, my world is ending. I cannot work now. I cannot. But actually, you know, let us have that mentality when we go out. If we forgot our seats, you know, who should we reach out to? Yeah. And we will always, you know, remember that when we go out the next morning, you know, remember to bring your seats along, you know, to scatter them and spread it everywhere. So what? Some may say, well, what's if someone rejects me? Yeah, and say no to you. Sometimes you might share the words with someone and they may reject it or just move along. Yeah. Well, I think it's okay, just move along. Yeah, when someone says no. Sometimes God brings another person into that person's life later to share the message again. And then that's when they accept Christ after that. It reminds me of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, 6 to 9. I have planted the seeds in the hearts and Apollo watered it, but with God who makes it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who planted and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will reward with their own hard work. So, you know, has everyone ever said no to you? Yeah, I don't know about you, but yes, I can tell you yes. Many times people say no to me. And that's fine. I think we move on. But down the road, I found out that, yeah, he became a Christian. Some other people came. So I planted the seed and somebody, you know, some other person come. And this person may think that, oh, one of my friends says that, oh, how come two person in this week talk about the same Jesus to me? And then you start to explore more. Yeah, this is how sometimes it's okay when people say no, just move on. And another person may come and we need to obey. And on time, I learned that this is key. Timing is a key. The only thing is I have also learned is always ask the question, would you accept Jesus in your heart? This is my, I don't know whether I grew up in a profession of doing sales last time. They always teach you this sales technique. Always ask. So when I share Christ to a person, even though they say, yeah, I'll think about it. Maybe I'm not sure. But I always end with, yeah, I respect that you're considering. But do you want to accept Jesus today? They will say, oh, yes. Some say no. There's always questions where some students say, yes. Yeah. Maybe I'll try it today. Yep.
So always ask that question.
It's important to ask that question as well. If you don't ask the question, the answer is always no. Yeah. So it's important for us to understand that when we plant our seed of faith, someone else will come along and water it eventually and grow. But church, we need to recognize that our role of planting seeds is crucial. If the seed isn't planted, no matter how the watering system of the world did, doesn't matter. No one has planted a seed. So let us be intentional in sharing the message, trusting that each step is part of God's plan's growth. You know, what Jesus said is we should be that man, woman that scattered the seeds everywhere we go. And do not, you know, even the rocky ground or thorny ground, just spread it and trust God will make it grow and keep on sowing. And it's okay if we don't know what it will happen, right? It's okay we don't know because Jesus teaches us in Mark. Sometimes we have no idea what to do. But I want to share this verse with you, Mark 4, the secret of growing these seeds, the parable of in Mark. We also said that this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scattered a seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows through, though he doesn't know how. So all itself, soil, grain, and the first was stalk, and a head of full of kernel and heads, and soon it will harvest. So even we don't know, yeah, even we don't know, it's okay because it's up to God sometimes. Who is responsible for the growth, can I ask? It's God. And we are called to harvest. So I would like to close with this. Can I get the worship team to come up? You know, one of the things we can do, evangelize, is use your gifting. Whatever God have placed you in your hearts, whatever God equips you, He will provide you to use it to sow the seeds. You know, some of you may be in gifting in social media, poems, singing, creative arts, you know, and other gifts. But I can tell you, brothers and sisters, my gifting, one of my gifting is I like food. Food, right? This is, I'm going to tell you the story why. I can tell you, my wife is my weakness. Oh, she's not here, but she's wherever restaurant I go, the owner of the restaurant like to come and talk to me, right? They will come out and, oh, have a chat, sit down and have a chat while we're eating. Restaurant owner, I didn't do anything special like everyone else. I just walk in and order and sit down. But I can tell you that God always send restaurant owner come and speak to me. Maybe they see that, oh, this is a fat boy coming back, repeat customer. I don't know. Maybe it's my look, you know, my tummy that say, oh, this is a good customer. It's a repeat one. I like to eat. So you know, sometimes give my gifting. I can tell you that it's just that and. We start conversation and we start to talk about life things like testimonies and all that and I'm able to share with them, you know, this gift. It can be as a gifting as such as this. Yeah. You know, some of us may think that, you know, maybe we are not good enough. Maybe we are not good enough. In 1 Corinthians 2:4, Paul says this, my message and my preaching were not with wise, persuasive words, but with a demonstration of Spirit's power, so that your faith might have not rest on a human wisdom, but God's power. Now, what does Paul mean with God's power? When God ascension, you know, when Jesus ascension to heaven, and this is the power I want to share with you this morning. But you will receive. This is first Acts where Jesus ascended to heaven. He says this, when you will receive a power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me wherever in Jerusalem, through Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the world. So church, let's rely on God's power, and His power is resonated in us. Can I get all our eyes closed? right now. And let's take some time to reflect, a few seconds to reflect. For those of you who are a believer in this place, think about that person, that one person, there may be two or few more persons along your life, that they specifically, they take the effort to come over to your life, step into your life, and to reveal the message of the kingdom of God into your life. That person. There can be a few persons. You know, imagine, look at their face. Imagine their face right now. The person that have invested in your life. My brother, my sisters, isn't God amazing? You know, He has faithfully sent people along the way. People who obey His call to reach out to you, to share His love, to show you the path to Himself. God have done that. And this is the love of the great compassion God, our compassionate God have for us. He gave His life for all of us, for you and me, so that He can come to you, He can reach you, He can touch you, He can heal you, and love you, and embrace you. Now let us respond to His calling, church, that our life, to sow the seeds of faith, like that person that obey God, and come and speak to your life. May we be the church that spreads the seeds of God's and goodness through the world, reflecting His love for those who are searching for Him. You know, let us obey, church. Let us obey. Just be another one that obey and be the one that live and sow the seeds. As we come to a time of worship, and let's prepare ourselves. Can we get everyone to stand and we worship God one more time?